Let us turn our Bibles back to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. If you have read the account of the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, then you have an idea of the utter and devastating destruction of that city, with the vast heaps of the dust, of powdered bricks and charred wood, which have been discovered upon the site of the cities, which were entirely torn down to the ground by the fierce and terrible Babylonian soldiers. And so, for Nehemiah and his fellow companions to rebuild and to restore the walls of Jerusalem under such a devastating condition was truly a huge undertaking, as they found the place in complete ruin, and that the mess was covered, and the mess that covered it up was difficult to dig through, and they could not build the wall, and there was so much rubbish. And look at verse 10, it says, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burden, those who bring in the building materials, were decayed, meaning to say they are weakened, their strength had left them, and there is much rubbish, so that we were not able to build the wall. From this text, we can draw a spiritual parallel for the church, for the people of God. We also, likewise, for us, there is a work which God's people have to carry out in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the power of His Holy Spirit as Christian believers in the world. The advancement or the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we as witnesses for Christ, there is a work for each Christian believer. As I mentioned the last time in our last study, that we understand from Scripture that Jerusalem is a type of Christ, the type of church of God. It pictures the people of God. And so when we talk about the church, we are not talking about the physical building of the church. When we speak of the church of God, we are referring to the people of God, the redeemed people. Therefore, the Christian believers, like Nehemiah and his compatriots, have to build the wall of the church for God. But we cannot build it. Why? Because there is so much rubbish in our way. There is so much rubbish in our way. There is so much spiritual rubbish in our lives that we need to daily clear with the help of the Holy Spirit. And this is true, first of all, concerning the building of the church, which is the Jerusalem of God. And this is equally true of the temple of God, referring to individual believers. So there is rubbish to be cleared as a whole in the whole body of Christ, the community, the church of God. And then there is the temple of God, which is to be built in the hearts of each believer. Very often we cannot deny the fact that we feel discouraged. We are weakened, or there is no strength left in us, just like we read here in verse 10, because the burden indeed is heavy, and oftentimes we are subject to discouragement. And so we are instructed here, or rather we are instructed in the word of God, and I refer to you particularly in Jude 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. And this is the work that we have to continue in our pilgrim journey here. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. And how be it, we often feel that we cannot build this spiritual wall because there is so much rubbish. Our subject today, this morning, is hindrances to building up faith. Hindrances to building up faith. First of all, let us consider the work of building. The work of building firstly comprises of the building of the church of God. This enterprise, we must acknowledge indeed, it is the work of God Himself. He alone built the church. The psalmist tells us, when the Lord shall build up Zion, He shall appear in His glory. Psalm 102 verse 16. And yes, we may build. We as Christian believers, we may build as we may, but we must also acknowledge that except the Lord built the house, they labor in vain that built it. Psalm 127 verse 1. Nevertheless, though God alone is the one that built the church, nevertheless, our firm and full conviction is that God's working by His Holy Spirit. Listen to this very carefully, and this is often where Christians just get it all wrong. It is our full and firm conviction from Scripture, that is, that God's working by His Spirit does not at all interfere with the grand truth that God employs agents or uses means for the building up of His church in the world. I repeat, the working of God's Holy Spirit does not at all interfere with the grand truth that God employs agents or uses means for the building up of His church in the world. That in fact, He has commissioned us referring to God's redeemed people, us referring to the Christian believers, His chosen servant, and sent us into the world, each one of us, according to our God-given ability and opportunity to labor for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us keep this in mind. It doesn't interfere. Don't ever think that, oh, it is the work of God, therefore I have nothing to do with it. Sanctification is the work of God, so therefore the building up of my faith is not my part. You have a responsibility as a believer. The sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man, though difficult for us to rationalize or to understand, but yet it goes hand in hand. We work because God works by us. We are hindered, however, in this service by the fact that there is so much rubbish in our way, in the way of our life, in our hearts, spiritually speaking. And this has been so. This has been so. The work of the gospel, the work of building up the church, has been hindered by many rubbish. And this has been so since time immemorial. For example, when Paul and his fellow apostles began to build God's house or God's people, they encountered a towering heap of the old Jewish rubbish, which is very difficult to remove, heavy to bear away, and in huge quantity. The foundation was there. God has set it up. Thank God, we, for us, in the New Testament, we do not have to lay that foundation. That foundation is laid in the Lord Jesus Christ and firmly laid. And all other foundation can no man lay except in Christ. But for the Jews, at that time, with their tradition, they had overlaid this foundation. They had added to the word of God. We are talking about the Pharisees, the scribes, added to the word of God. They put on glosses upon it. They had taken away the real meaning of God's word and putting in meaning of their own. They had invented rites, ceremonies, various ceremonies, and then they created the traditions of the fathers and the superstition so as to confuse those who seek to find out the gospel truth. And then the apostles soon discovered that they have fallen upon troubles, another trouble. By God's help, by the grace of the mercy of the Lord, all these troubles, all this rubbish, they were cleared away. And therefore they were able to build the wall again, till the new Jerusalem became famous in the world. But that is not the end. Next, the apostles encounter in the wider world of the Roman Empire the rubbish of old paganism, the superstition of the age. They are very gods. They were criminals. But they hide behind all these gods. Their sacred rites, orgies of lust and drunkenness. The priest has successfully disguised their vices as a religion, and under the present mysterious worship had devised means for pandering the most sordid passions of the most corrupt human nature. This was another of this rubbish that the apostles had to deal with, had to clear it away. And it is no small mess of rubbish which now, in our modern time, the researchers have found out in their study of Greek and Roman mythology, man could not find out God, for many gods they created and many lords stood in the way of the apostle in their work of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither could they believe in the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because of their foolish heart was darkened by all this rubbish. And not only paganism, they went on further to worship what? Jupiter, Saturn, or Venus, or Mercury. All these demon cities, or deities rather. But thank God, this rubbish was cleared away and the foundation were built upon by the earnest and faithful men that went before us. Though they have to lay each stone with their blood and cement it in agony and in tears. Moreover, let us not forget, in those days, those early days of the church, in her building, they have to encounter what? Many other rubbish of various kinds. What kinds? Philosophies of mankind. And then in the writing of the Apostle Paul and John, you will meet with what? The allusion to the great Gnostic philosophy, which perverted so many Christians at that time. And even today, the ignorance of Christian has never been so evil a thing as the vain knowledge, the false wisdom with which men have been puffed up in their fleshly pride or minds. It is an evil day when men know too much to know God. Even to this day, the outside philosophies of unchristian men, of unchristian women continue to infect and attack the church, spoil her, injure her, dilute the wine of the kingdom, overturn the children's milk, and to a great extent poison the bread of life. Do we not see this in so many of these cults, movement? Sad that it should be so, but the rubbish of philosophy has always been in the way of building up the faith of the people's, of God's people. And then the story of the apostolic age may serve as a great comfort to us. We thank God for those times, even though it may be evil, but it was indeed God's appointed time. As the apostles were hindered, so are we. But as they persevere and overcame, even so will we, brethren, by our great Master's help in the power of the Holy Spirit, we shall persevere and we shall overcome. By now, you would think that that's the end of all the rubbish I'm talking about in the past. The list of hindrances to building up of faith actually goes on. That's not the end. After the apostolic time and the first zeal of the Christians have gone, there came what? There came the Roman rubbish, which in the end proved a worse hindrance than all which had preceded it. This popish rubbish was found in layers. First one, doctrinal error, then another, then another, then another, then another, till at this time the errors of the Church of Rome are as countless as the stars, as black as midnight, and as foul as hell. Her idolatries are the scorn of reason and the abhorrence of faith. The sinfulness in the practices of the Roman Church or the Church of Rome and the enormities of the doctrine almost surpass belief. Popery is as much the masterpiece of Satan as the gospel is the masterpiece of God. There can scarcely be imagined anything of satanic wickedness which could be compared with her. She is unparalleled, the queen of iniquity. The Church of Rome and her teaching are a vast mountain of rubbish covering the truth. For many years, faithful men could not get at the foundation because there was very much of such Roman rubbish. But thank be to God, here and there, God raised up a standard in Wycliffe who said, Jesus Christ himself, elect and precious, is the one stone, or rather is the stone on which I built my hope. Here and there, there is a John Hus, or a Jerome of Prague, yet nevertheless, they found out the foundation, wrapped with their tears, or wrapped out of their hearts, because of so much rubbish, which threatened to bury even them, when they were seeking the foundation. Then God in his mercy further raised up Master Excavator in Martin Luther. How grandly he laid the bare glorious foundation of justification by faith alone. And equally grand worker at this enterprise he had, by the grace of God, Master John Calvin, who laid the open long stretches of the ancient foundation of the covenant of grace. And he was well supported by his brother Zwingli, and then John Knox in Scotland, and others in this land, in this country, once upon a time. They cleared away for us some of the rubbish, but there was still so much rubbish, a mess of it, that they had to throw it up heaps on either side. But sadly, as we see it still, and we see it in this country, in all over the Western Empire, it is beginning to come down, crumbling down again onto the foundation, and to cover it up once more. A perfect reformation they could not build, and the remnant of the rubbish is now our plague and hindrance. Is it not true? Do we not see it? Everywhere the much rubbish is being diligently cast upon the heap by the emissaries of the evil one, of Satan, and we can scarcely get to the foundation to build thereon the gold and the silver and the precious stones which God commits to us with which to build up his own spiritual house. Beside all this rubbish of Judaism, rubbish of paganism, rubbish of human philosophy, rubbish of Romish rubbish, and there are some more rubbish of other kinds lying around us, lying around the Christian believers. There is much rubbish arising from the world, the influences of the world. There is much rubbish arising what? In our flesh, in our hearts. Don't forget, we still have that old corruption in us. And then of course we have the temptations of the devil, so that we are not able to build the wall. Just look at ourselves again, at the human sin, how that impedes us. If there were no false system of religion, if no priest or scribe, and if they are silent, if false prophets and antichrist were both out of the way, yet the sins of men are a vast and hideous mass of rotten rubbish, and our labors of love are hindered thereby. How hard it is to get the hearing of a sinner to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So hard. For the world has the first word and often the last word, and they will listen to it rather than listening to the gospel. The ear gate is choked with rubbish. How hard still it is to get the human heart, for there Satan reigns in their own throne and takes great effort to build up barricades and earthworks of rubbish, of carnal lust, pride, that prevents men, women, boys and girls from hearing the gospel. They are all wrapped up in indifference. They are wrapped up in the things of the world like mummies in the tomb. They give their energy to the answering of the question. What is foremost in their mind is not God. Nothing, no concern for their own soul. They give their energy to answering the question of what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and where shall we be clothed. Immortal as they are, they live only for mortality. I'm afraid, dear brethren, that in the work of building up the church, the rubbish does not lie all with the unbelievers. The rubbish lies with also the Christians. There is very much rubbish among professors, so that we cannot build the wall. There are many Christians who every now and then come out in the religious world with some new fad and fancy of their own, some grand discovery that they have made, some wonderful points of doctrine which they glory in, some marvelous, soul-stirring discovery which upon careful examination, careful analysis, careful study turns out to be a heap of rubbish which stifle the building up of their faith. However, brethren, having painted to you a very gloomy picture of some of these hindrances to the building up of the wall of Jerusalem, let me bring you some words of comfort and encouragement, particularly to those who are in Christ. Looking back at history, we can see the foundation of the martyrs built upon Christ, who with the apostles and the confessors make up the lower foundation of the Church of Christ. Read in the book of Revelation and see for yourself how they are described. For the last about 1800 or 1900 years, stone upon stone, without the sound of hammer, they have been built. And the walls are rising still. We praise and thank God. Glory be to God. The gospel is a success, notwithstanding the sneer of Sanballat, the cruel speech of Tobiah the Ammonite, the opposition of the world. The wall of Jerusalem is being built, and the divine eye, God's eye, is upon it. It is God's masterpiece of architecture, and he regards it with great delight. God is the great master builder, and the believers, each one of us, bearing both the sword and the trouble, as we are taught by Christ, must be wise builder under God's direction. And this work must go on. We must not give it up. We must not stop. Though it is difficult, though there is much rubbish to be cleared, the work must go on, for it is in the hand of God the hand of God that never weary, the hand of God that is not weakened, and it is directed by the mind that never fails, by firm decrees also. It is banded and builded and cemented so that it cannot fail or crumble. The Lord declares what? In His own word, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We come now to consider the second part of the work of building up faith. The building up of the church, now the building up of each believer, the building up of individual believers. There is a building work going on within us, the believers. It is the Spirit of God working to edify the Christians, to form Christ in us. And that is to say, to build up in our grace, the grace of God, and to build up, and the building up is carried on by the grace of love. We read in verse 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 1, knowledge puffeth up, but charity, meaning to say love, buildeth up. Each Christian believer are called to be builders. Builders in God's strength. As I have said before, and we have to honestly admit it, there is so much rubbish in our hearts, so that we are not able to build the wall. Do you not often, brethren, feel? Do you not feel that you cannot be built up in heavenly graces? Why? Because of the rubbish of your own corrupt nature. What a terrible and dreadful fall that was, that our first parents suffered. What a total ruin did it make to us, our moral nature. Brethren, do you not discover? Do you not feel it? Some fresh heap of rubbish which you hardly knew was there in your heart. Areas in which you thought yourself to be strong, but it turned out to be your weakness. There was an infirmity from which we half indulged the thought that we were clear. We thought we were clear of that, and therefore we were rather critical at other believers for having such an infirmity and sin. But alas, what we criticize of other believers, it broke out in us. It always has been in us, but it had not had the occasion and the opportunity. But alas, the temptation came and it broke off. The hidden evil in our hearts was exposed. Oh, brethren, much more of such rubbish remains in us, and we have to plead for the mercy of the Lord, as it is our responsibility to mortify our old nature. Yes, then there is the rubbish of pride, rubbish of unbelief, rubbish of evil lasting, rubbish of anger, rubbish of despondency, rubbish of indifference, apathy, plainly not interested. Brethren, it is not worthwhile to stir it up. It is such a foul heap of rubbish in our hearts. The building of grace does not advance as we could wish. Why? Because the old corruption still resides in us. We fight this fight every day, and we can only overcome in the power of the Holy Spirit as we make intentional effort by prayer and by the help of the Holy Spirit. As the saying goes, or rather, first of all, there is this rubbish of old habits that we have to overcome, that surface to hinder us to building up of our faith. As the saying goes, old habits die hard. Yes, the old habit wins for mastery, and we do not fall, and if we do not fall into them, yet they wax us. These old habits always come back to haunt us, isn't it? To trouble us. And so these are the rubbish that prevents the building up of the wall of the divine life. And therefore you see so many of us Christians half dead, in slumber, sleeping, just cruise along life. And then there is a rubbish of worldly association, friendship with the world,
It is hard, isn't it? It is hard. We do not deny that, to be in the world and yet to keep ourselves from the ways or the influences of the world. We wish, indeed, sometimes that we can altogether get away from this world of evil. And so again, as the result of our being in the world, there is very much rubbish that we struggle each day to get rid of. There are certainly many more rubbish in our hearts that I can bring up that hinders our spiritual growth and vitality. However, brethren, thank be to God for those of us who are in Christ. Thank be to God. Do not forget that you have the foundation, and the foundation is surely laid in our Lord Jesus Christ. The point is this. Are you sure of that? Are you sure that you are resting on that sure foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ? I pray that you will not rest till you are certain of it and be serious about it. As I said before, and I know that you may not like to hear it, there are many, as I said, there are many. And recently I just received a sort of a maxim from a pastor friend who sent me this maxim or this remark or comment made by Pastor Paul Washer. And he said this, and it is very true, and it confirms my observation that right now there is a mission field in the church, or rather in the pews of the church. The mission field right now is not so much as we sending out missionaries to all these far-flung countries that we think or we consider that the gospel is not there. But the mission field right now is right in our pews. You see, brethren, when you are truly brought to rest alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is laid for you in Zion a sure foundation stone, and to that you are cemented by sovereign grace, if you are in Christ. For those united in Christ by His Holy Spirit, let us thank God again that the building up of His church, or rather His temple in us, is God's work. He began it, He did it, and He made clear to us our own emptiness. He cast out our self-righteousness, and He laid Christ in our hearts. The Lord did it, and He has done everything else which has been done in us that has been worth the doing. Salvation is of the Lord alone, and unto Him must be all the praise. And there is this comfort for us, the believers. It is His work to save us. We are not our own Savior. Christ is the Savior. It is the Spirit work that make us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. It is the Bridegroom, not the bride, that is to make the bride fit for her husband. So the scripture says, Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ephesians 5:27. It is Christ that presents the bride to Himself, and it is He that makes her fit to be presented. Blessed be God. The work is sure and in competent hands. And therefore, those of us who are in Christ, let us by divine grace work on as we are instructed or commanded in Scripture to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And I must point it out again. It is work out. Don't misquote me. I know. And then you say, oh, this preacher is preaching salvation by work. I say work out, not work for. And that's the scripture. For the believers, work
out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and make your election sure. And therefore let us add to faith, for the believers that is, add to faith what? The most earnest endeavor. Let us unite, pray for one another, diligently strive to get away from this rubbish, whatever bad habit, whatever obstruction that obstruct our edification, that obstruct our growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that the Lord will help us to overcome it. Encourage one another. Pray for one another that we may together subdue or throw out all this spiritual rubbish. Let us press forward, brethren, and never content, never rest, never be satisfied till we wake up in Christ's likeness. And as we have not all His likeness yet, therefore, let us press on. Let us press forward, looking to that which is before us and forgetting that which is behind. Faith and diligence, by God's good grace, shall give us to be built up on our most holy faith. Not with wood, hay and stubble, as Paul says, but with gold and silver and precious stone, which will abide the fire, the testing at the last day. Have courage, brethren. Bear your burden in removing your rubbish. Use your sword, the word of God, and the means of grace, prayer, communion with the saints, fellowship with the saints, for the work is the Lord, and it shall be accomplished. Fear not, but arise, and be of good cheer. For the apostle enjoins us, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us. And for those who are still outside of the kingdom of God, and those who are deluded because you have been coming to church, oh, may I urge you to sit down and ponder, are you sure that foundation is laid for you in Christ? Are you very, very sure of that? If not, come right now and turn to Him. For those who come, Jesus says, He in no wise will cast them out. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your mercy. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, indeed, that You have not left Thy people alone. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that our salvation is firmly laid in our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise and thank Thee that we have such a hope, the hope of glory, which is to come. Meanwhile, O Lord, continue to strengthen us and increase our faith, increase our hope, increase our trust in Thee, increase, O Lord, our love for Thee, our love for Thy word and Thy commandments and Thy laws, to keep them as Thy people out of our love for Thee, in gratitude to You for what You have done for us on Calvary's cross. Oh, help us, we pray, in this new week. Hear this our prayer. Amen.